The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Lexington Community Radio or its board of directors. The views expressed are solely those of the programmers.
You are listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
Welcome, everybody, to Off the Cuff. I am Adam Banks coming at you live from Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for tuning in to WLHU 93.9 FM. In addition to listening on the radio, you can check out our Facebook live stream at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, or you can stream the show live from the station website at radiolex.us. I am broadcasting from the Deborah Hensley Studios here at Radio Lex on North Limestone. It is the very last day of the month, August the 31st, 2023, 4:01 to be exact. Thank you guys, everybody, for tuning in. We have a great show ahead of you today. We've got a special guest. We've actually got several special guests coming on today. At the 4:30 mark, I am going to be bringing on Girls with Guitars. And Girls with Guitars are three ladies, and they will be bringing in their guitars to perform live here in the studio. Melissa Deaton, Jonathan, Trisha Torline, and Trudy Rose. And also joining me in studio while I have those guests will be Renee Cobb, and she will be kind of co-hosting with me through those interviews. So look forward to that. But ladies and gentlemen, we do have to start the show off on a somber note because my man Bob Barker, the longtime host of television's The Price is Right, who became an American staple in American television, has died at the age of 99 years old. 99. That's how old he was when he passed away. Insane. And you know, I've been talking about Bob Barker's age for a long, long time. The fact that he lived that long is just an accomplishment in itself. I want you to think about living to 99. That's a long time. And I've been seeing all kinds of memes of people saying Bob Barker made it to as close as he could without going over a dollar. And it's funny because his whole life he was trying to get contestants not to go over a dollar, and he made it as close as he pretty much could without going over 100. But 99, what a life he lived. And one reason Bob Barker became such an iconic game show host was the sheer length of his career. He was on television for so long, almost half of a century. He took over a hosting position right before he took over The Price is Right. Not many people know that because it was so long ago. The show was called Truth or Consequences, and he took over that show as the host in 1956. And then he eventually went on to host The Price is Right in 1972. So just to give you just some background information about Bob Barker, his real name was, of course, Robert William Barker, and he was born in Darrington, Washington on December the 12th, 1923. And at the age of six, he moved to Seawaux, Indiana on a reservation in South Dakota with his mother after his father passed away from a workplace accident. His mom was a school teacher, and she remarried, and they moved to Missouri. And then eventually Bob Barker went on and joined the Navy and got out of the Navy at the tail end of World War II, got a broadcasting degree. Actually, excuse me, he got an economics degree from Drury University. So very educated, but not in the field that he eventually ended up in, as most great broadcasters do. They major in something else and then end up in this field. But Bob Barker landed a job at a radio station in Florida eventually in 1950, and he moved to California to start his own radio program, The Bob Barker Show, in Burbank. Television producers were clearly turning in to his show because he landed his first game show in 1956, Truth or Consequences, and that was a job he would keep for 18 years. And it's crazy he got that job because a TV producer was listening to his radio show and liked the way he interacted with the fans so much, or the callers, that he thought he would be good on television. So Folks, you never know who's listening. And I tell myself all the time, you never know who's listening to this radio show. And you could always get your big break just by a listener listening to the show. The thing about radio is you never know who is on the other end of that radio listening to you. And Bob Barker became the host of The Price is Right in 1956. And here is, or I'm sorry, Bob Barker became the host of The Price is Right in 1972, September the 4th, 1972. And here was Bob Barker's first day as the host of the new Price is Right.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the new Price is Right. And let me assure you, fans of the old Price is Right, that this is your favorite game, still based on the pricing of merchandise, with wonderful awards for smart shoppers. We call it the new Price is Right because we have some exciting new games that you will enjoy right there at home with our studio audience. And we're going to get that first game going right now. Here's the first item up for bids on the new Price is Right.
It's a fur coat. This natural brown muskrat coat with genuine white leather trim from the exclusive fur salons of Harry Brown, Beverly Hills, and Las Vegas. This beautiful coat can be yours if the price is right.
So think about that. The very first item on The Price is Right was a fur coat. And that might not be any significance to you, but it actually is very significant because that was the first prize on The Price is Right. And there was never a fur coat on the show again as Bob Barker was the host, because after that episode was over, his very first episode, Bob Barker went back and told producers, hey, I don't want you all to have fur coats on this show. It's animal cruelty. And Bob Barker was a huge, huge animal lover, and he thought things like fur coats was animal cruelty. And he said he wasn't going to host the show if they had prizes like that on the show. So that was the very first prize and the very last time you've seen a fur coat be bid on, at least while Bob Barker was there. He was a longtime animal rights activist, and he ended each show of The Price is Right with one plea. It was his sign-off phrase. It's help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Even Bob Barker's very last taping of The Price is Right, he didn't give no heartwarm goodbye. He didn't say no heartfelt speech or anything like that. He signed off the same way he had signed off for the last 35 years. Take care of the pet population and have your pets spayed or neutered. And he founded a charity in 1995 that provided services for pet owners. It was called the DJ&T Foundation, named after his wife and her mother. His passion for the cause can be traced to the first prize he gave away on the Price is Right, which was a fur coat. And even from the very beginning on The Price is Right, he stood up for animal rights. Bob Barker, quote, said, I went to Mark Goodson and told him I didn't want to be on the stage with these fur coats. So they took the coats off the show. He was a TV fixture, Bob Barker was, in other time slots as well. In 1967, he began a 20-year run as the MC for the Miss Universe and Miss America pageants. And in 1969, he started a long run as the host of the New Year's Day Tournament of Roses Parade. Bob Barker loved women. Yes, he was only married once to his high school sweetheart, and they were married for over 30 years. But Bob Barker stayed single for almost 50. That's what you get when you live a life of 99. So he was single the majority of his life. And his image took a hit in 1994 as he was a single man. He was accused by a former model on The Price is Right, and she sued him and threatened She accused him of having a very unprofessional relationship with him. She said that Bob Barker said that if she didn't have sex with him, he would fire her. And her name was Diane Parkinson. She was a 19-year veteran of the show, and she had been fired the previous year. So a lot of people thought she was just a disgruntled employee trying to come back. So, who knows? Because she ultimately dropped the suit, but Bob Barker was forced to admit publicly that the two had a less than professional relationship off screen. So there you go. The scandal didn't prevent Bob Barker from being given an Emmy Award for his lifetime achievements, and he received one at the Emmys, and very deserving. Bob Barker is the GOAT of game shows, better than Alex Trebek, better than Pat Sajak. As they are great in their own right, Bob Barker is the GOAT of game shows. He was known for a few things, a few of his trademarks. One of the trademarks he was known for was that skinny little microphone that he always carried around. I don't remember anybody having a microphone that skinny. As a matter of fact, when somebody pulls out a skinny microphone today, people always call it the Bob Barker microphone. And he was also known for his gray hair. And Bob Barker, it's weird to think that he was known for his gray hair because for so long he came out as a host with dark hair. And it's a big deal if you let your hair go gray when you're on television because gray hair ages you. It just does. But people either embrace the gray hair or they don't like the gray hair. And back in this day, when Bob Barker first went on his first episode of The Price is Right with gray hair, it was a risk. And he finally went on his first episode of The Price is Right with gray hair in 1987. And he had to, of course, bring it up because that's a big deal. Take a listen.
Well, you like the suit. Is that it? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Lady in the back row says she loves my hair. Now, I know that if you saw the show yesterday, my hair was dark. And I'll tell you, I had a blind date last night. That never again. But do you like it? Do you like it? Because if you don't, now, if you don't like it, I can chant an old Sioux Indian chant, and it'll be dark again, you know? If you don't like it, you write to Fingers Greco and and tell her that you don't like it. If you do like it, well, either or the other. If you like it, write to Fingers Greco. Fingers, you know how to spell that.
You see how serious he was taking it? He really was worried that the fans wouldn't like his gray hair. So he told him, hey, if you don't like it, I'll change it back. But if you do like it, let us know too. Well, I guess people liked it because he kept it the rest of the way from 1987 all the way up to his death. You gotta love Bob Barker. He was one of the best. But yes, he was great. He was great with guests. But Bob Barker, a lot of the times, if you really watched his show every day, he wasn't as nice as what people probably remember. As a matter of fact, Bob Barker was hateful in a lot of ways, which made him more entertaining. I love it when a television host, or radio host for that matter, is kind of hateful, especially to contestants, because it's entertaining. It makes it more fun. I have compiled a couple of clips here of Bob Barker just kind of being mean, kind of being hateful. Let's take a listen to a few of them.
And then I stop it. Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Then you stop it. But now you don't stop it. You don't stop it until the price is in the red area.
Okay.
Because we can't.
So I just keep pressing it.
No, you don't touch it. You don't touch it until you want to stop it.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I
had no idea this game was this complicated. You know that? It's very easy.
Now, what did it start out on? 70? It didn't go all the way around? All right, let's have a big boo for Connie. Every time the wheel doesn't go all the way around, you get a Price is Right boo from now on.
Let's have a big boo. He made the audience boo this woman for not being able to get the wheel all the way around. Here are some more. Take a listen.
The actual retail, they're through. You don't understand. They've all bid. They've all bid, and she's back there. 522! 522!
It's got all the numbers and the price of the car right there, but we're not going to worry about those. Instead, my little furniture mover has brought in, she's not too skillful, but she is good looking.
Now, she's not too skillful, but she is good looking. Well, no wonder, Bob, you got sued because of things like that.
800, and nervous. I said, Laura, you must clear back to 775. You're what?
Nervous.
No, you're Denise. Now, I want you to settle down here, Denise. I want you to settle down.
She said, I'm nervous. No, you're Denise. He wanted to always keep the show moving no matter what, and you have to in television. It's only an hour, and you really only got 41 minutes of screen time, so you have to keep things moving. So he didn't let people lollygag around. Here's some more.
Yes. How long have you had this hearing problem, Laura? Why did you just sit there when he said Laura Nichols?
I didn't hear him correctly.
You didn't hear him correctly? John has made a living as an announcer for half a century.
Right.
He is known for his clear, distinct enunciation. Let me hear that name again, John.
Laura Nichols!
Now, didn't you understand that? What could you possibly believe that he had said?
I have no idea.
Why don't you just admit it? You were talking with someone, paying no attention to what was going on around you, weren't you?
No, it's not true.
Had you dozed off?
He won't let it go.
Nervous.
So nervous that you don't understand English. Well, here you are, and here...
You gotta love it. He never let it go. He just kept going and going and going. But Bob Barker, he did die peacefully at his home in California, 99 years old. And a lot of people said, I thought he was dead a long time ago. Well, he got out of the Price is Right hosting duties in 2007 at the age of 85. So he did leave TV in the public life long ago. But he still got to enjoy himself in retirement, and he has become a definite national treasure. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have more Off the Cuff, but rest in peace to Bob Barker.
Bob, how would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? As the man who said, have your pets spayed or neutered.
Thank you, Bob.
Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Dale says on the show thread, heard on the radio this afternoon, traveling, that Bob Barker spent his final days watching Two and a Half Men. He binge-watched it until he died. And he was listening to the Colin Cowherd show when he heard that. Interesting. I mean, you really can't do much at 99. Maybe take a little walk around your place, watch a little TV. But that's interesting. Interesting to know. Thanks for that, Dale. Here on Off the Cuff for the last several episodes, we have had a recurring segment where I have been taking an iconic summer blockbuster from times past, and I pick one, a summer blockbuster that has existed before, and I do a deep dive into it. And so far, we have done three. We have done Jaws, we've done The Dark Knight, and we've done The Sixth Sense. We've done those three. Three great summer blockbusters. Movies that were explosive at the box office. A movie that just took the summer and the world by storm. And most of your blockbusters occur in the summer. And since it is the summer, we're slap dab in the summer, we should talk about our next feature. And today's feature, we're going to be talking about Jurassic Park, which was released in June on the 11th, 1993. And up on its initial release, Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park became the first film in history to gross $50 million in a single weekend. The film's box office rule would continue until it eventually became the highest grossing film of all time, a record it would hold until Titanic surpassed it. So before Titanic came and swept the world with box office numbers and a lot of money, Jurassic Park held the crown as the best and most watched movie in the world. So that's going to be our deep dive for summer blockbusters this week. And we're going to continue this segment until the end of summer. And what I like to do during a deep dive of a particular movie is talk about the cast, talk about the, you know, fun facts, maybe some trivia, and just a little small deep dive into it. Film critic Tom Schoen declared the impact of Jurassic Park's special effects was an invaluable to film production, as the evidence of sound was in 1927. Despite being 30 years old, Jurassic Park still looks better than many contemporary films. Because CGI, something that we use all the time in movies today, had never been done before until Jurassic Park. And it's funny, because when you watch Jurassic Park, it looks like it was filmed yesterday. It looks like it's still a brand new movie, and that movie was in 1993. So let's go over the plot of what Jurassic Park is. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It says here, industrialist John Hammond has created Jurassic Park, a theme park of cloned dinosaurs on the tropical island Isla Nublar. Hammond's grandchildren, Lex and Tim, join for a tour of the park while Hammond oversees from the control room. Most of the park's electric fences have also been deactivated due to a tropical storm that hits the island, allowing the Tyrannosaurus Rex and several other dinosaurs escape and attack the tour group. It stars Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, and Richard Attenborough. So, it's an awesome plot. It's very unrealistic to think that dinosaurs would be in existence today, but Jurassic Park really made us believe that it could happen. Let's look at some fun facts about the movie Jurassic Park. The movie may have a runtime of 127 minutes, but there are only approximately 15 minutes of dinosaur footage. Other big names were up for the roles in this film. The casting was all over the place. Other possible candidates for the roles in the film included William Hurt and Harrison Ford as Alan Grant, Christina Ricci as the little girl Lex, Sean Connery as John Hammond, and Robin Wright or Juliet Bonannici as Elle Sattler. Stars Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern found romance on set and were engaged after Jurassic Park, but unfortunately, after 2 years, the pair broke off the engagement and split up. The T-Rex sound effects were a combination of an elephant trumpeting, penguin mating sounds, as well as a dog, tiger, and alligator noises. When T-Rex comes through the roof of the Explorer, the child actor's screams were real, as the glass wasn't meant to break. It always makes it more real when a scream happens, and it always makes it more entertaining when a scream is real, because you can't fake real. While filming on location in Hawaii, Hurricane Linky, the most powerful hurricane to hit Hawaii in record history, happened. And that was the biggest hurricane in Hawaii up until a few weeks ago. Nicolas Cage played a pivotal role in Lauren Dern's decision to be in this movie. The offer came in hot on the wheels of finishing Wild at Heart with Cage. Although she was skeptical about taking the role, he insisted that she did it because he said, "No one can ever say no to a dinosaur movie." It took 7 puppeteers to operate the eyes, mouth, stomach, and other body parts of the dinosaurs. During filming, a puppeteer was hidden in the tail of a lot of the large dinos to give it movement. Speaking of the Triceratops, the scene in which Laura Dern's character sticks her hand in the dino poo is seemingly the most famous of her career. The most common question asked of her by her fans are you the lady that stuck her hand in the dinosaur poop? Chip Kidd is the guy behind the iconic logo. He designed it for the book Jurassic Park, which was released before the movie, and never really does a movie use the cover of a book. Usually the book is using the cover of the movie, but it's flipped in that. And then finally, Jurassic Park made television history too. In 1995, when the film first aired on NBC, it amassed an audience of over 65 million viewers, making it the most watched television movie up until that point. I hated watching movies on TV anyway, because you had commercials. But back in the day, that's the only way that you could watch a movie, unless you went to a video store to rent it. You just watched it on TV, and it was awful, because it would take 4 hours to watch a 2-hour movie because of all the commercials, and right when you're getting into it, a commercial would come on. But that's what people had to deal with. And in 1995, it was the biggest television movie of all time. 65 million people tuned in to watch it. But folks, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have our in-studio guest. I can't wait for it. So folks, stick with us. We will be right back. Baby, there's no other superstar, you know that I'll be. Papa, 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 Papa. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. And as promised, like I said at the top of the hour, I am very excited to have our guest in studio with us, and we will be having them joining us after we take our song of the week. We have Melissa Deaton, Jonathan, Trish Torline, and Trudy Rose. Let's give them a round. Very excited to have you all. And what we're going to do is take Off the Cuff's song of the week. And when we come back, folks, we're going to have a performance from all three of these ladies. And Renee Cobb, folks, is in the studio, too. Don't want to forget her. And we'll talk to her as well. We'll be back, folks, after the song. All right, folks, we are now ready to be joined by our first guest, the first of three that we will be talking to today. From Girls With Guitars, we have Melissa Deaton Jonathan. Melissa, thank you so much for being back in studio with me today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's just refresh the audience, their memories. You were on here about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago,
yeah.
And you came on Off the Cuff, and we talked about your reality career on reality television, which was awesome. But thank you so much for being back.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Josie Music Awards. It's coming up very soon. Talk about the categories that you've been nominated in. Tell the audience what that is.
Okay. Well, this year I have been nominated for Songwriter Achievement for my song Merry Go Round, which was a song that I wrote through Trish, and it was for the acoustic guitar project where you pass a guitar around, each artist gets it for a week, and you have to write a song in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how me and Trudy met as well. And so, yeah, that song came from sheer panic and a deadline. And it was an amazing song. So it's kind of full circle now that I got nominated for that. And then for Female Vocalist of the Year Country.
That's very impressive, especially in the field of country music,
right.
To be nominated. That's awesome. Now, you're going to be doing a live performance here on the radio. Talk about the song you're going to be performing today.
So the song is Merry Go Round, the one that I recorded through the Acoustic Guitar Project. And, it's just a song about relationships that seem to never go anywhere and, you know, round and round.
I know. Unfortunately, I know all about that. Well, folks, you're going to hear raw vocals and a raw performance acoustically on the guitar. Melissa, take it away. It's all yours.
Round and around and around and around and around. It's better without you, there's no way.
beautiful was good job. Wow.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming that this comes from a personal experience. because you can't really write music like that unless you've been through it.
That's right.
I mean, I was sitting there thinking, like, my goodness, was she in my head when she wrote this?
Well, thank you, because that's what I hope, you know, your personal experience, you can use them for other people to relate to, you know. We all can come together in our experiences and heal from them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for being here again
singing. Thank you so much, Robin.
So we're playing musical chairs today.
Hey, Renee, why don't you get on the mic here for just a second? I want to talk to you, and I want the audience just to have you talk with me. And what's been going on with you? You just got back from Los Angeles.
Oh, yes, we did.
Well, and went out and seen the Hollywood sign, rubbed elbows with a few celebrities, went to an award show where I reckon a bunch of our former guests won.
Yes, actually, the Goodwin brothers came away with the win for their performance of Shady Grove on Overtones Live, that DVD project that we did with them. And they have a category. It's Hollywood Independent Music Awards. They have a category called Best Live or Streamed Performance. So they won that, and it was just so awesome. It was like being at the Golden Globes, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like just first class. You had all the people sitting in the tables and the booths all around. So it was just really a great experience. We had 5 Kentucky winners, actually, and 4 of them were from the western part of the state. So I have yet to meet some of these people, but we've connected in a real special way out of this.
You just continue to amaze me just with the things that you do. And you've just been so influential just in the music, local music industry. And everybody, you're getting your name out there. Everybody knows you. And I'm just glad to know you.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad I know you. You've been great to work with through this thing as we highlight Josie Music Awards and the nominees that have been here local to the Radio Lex listening area.
Well, we just spoke to Melissa and heard a great tune. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our next performer?
I believe we have Trudy Rose coming up. And Trudy, we're going to get you all settled in here.
Okay. While she's getting set up, Trudy, you also were nominated for a few Josie Awards. Album of the Year nominee and Country Album of the Year. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, not exactly correct.
Okay.
Country Album of the Year, yes.
Okay.
And then Songwriter Achievement.
Gotcha. Well, I was close. I was 50-50.
Yeah, you were really, really close.
Well, still 2 great accomplishments.
Well, thank you.
Now, the Songwriter Award that you've been nominated for, are we going to be able to hear that song played today on the radio?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about that song, what it's about.
Well, this song is also written from personal experience. It's mostly about if you have something you want to achieve in life and there's someone or something that's preventing you from doing that. And the name of it is Cold Hard Ground. And I didn't think that it was anything that anybody else would want to hear when I wrote it. It was just therapeutic for me to write it. So it means a lot to me that it was, you know, nominated for Songwriter Achievement. And Songwriter Achievement Awards are, you're not competing against someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They judge that song based on its own merit.
Mm.
So
there'll be several.
Yeah.
Winners.
And that just means a lot to me. I'm just really pleased, you know, to have been nominated for that.
Well, I can't wait. Let's hear Trudy sing this amazing song. Thank you so much, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. You did everything to dim my light. Came at me like a thief in the night. You held me back without even trying. Then ask me why I wasn't shining. You put chaos in the place of peace. It changed me like some damn disease. You tried so hard hold me down. And run my spirit into the cold hard ground. But
yeah, let's go. Beautiful. Now, is music your outlet to how you just express all of your emotions in every which way?
Yes, absolutely.
So you have sad songs, happy songs, mad songs.
I do have. I have a lot of songs that are ridiculous, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, this particular song that you sang, which was beautiful, by the way, what were you going through in life to say, you know what, I want to express myself and write this song?
Well, I didn't write this song until this year, mm-hmm. but the experience happened many years ago. And I have people in my life now that are so positive and so supportive, and that I almost can't believe how fortunate a person I am. Mm-hmm. But that has not always been the case. And so this song came from a time that no longer exists in my life. But I felt like I could not be the only one who had been through that.
No.
So.
And that's one of the great things about music. I compare it to reading. There's not anything that not somebody else has went through.
Right.
So if you just search enough books, you'll find it and be able to read about it. And if you just search enough music, you'll be able to find a song that's relatable. So this song is exactly, it's what you intended for it to sound like, because it is so raw and great, and it's a beautiful song.
Well, thank you.
I think it's going to be hard to beat at the Josie Music Awards.
I hope you are right.
So thank you so much for being here again, Trudy.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate it, and good luck at the Josie Music Awards. All right, folks. We have one more presenter to go, and it's Trish Torlein, and we will talk to Trish right after these words. Stick with us. We will be right back.
I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We can go slow or make it go faster. Down through the woods and out to the pasture. Long as I'm with you, it really don't matter.
Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Last segment of the hour, we have been joined by three terrific guests, Girls with Guitars, Melissa Deaton-Jonathan, Trish Torlein, and Trudy Rose. We've already spoken and heard music from Melissa Deaton-Jonathan and Trudy Rose, but we still have in the studio Trish Torline, who is going to be talking with us and performing one of her songs as well that's been nominated for a Josie Music Award. So let's get to Trudy Rose. Thank you so much, Trudy, for being here.
It's Trish.
Oh,
we got Trish in the hot seat.
Oh, Trish in the hot seat. Excuse me.
She looks just like me, so I'm, you know.
So it's Trish is who we're talking to. Trish. Now, Trish, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And you've been performing music for a very long time.
That would be correct.
How long has it been?
You know, I actually started performing when I was in middle school.
Yes.
Not anything professional, but just... I wrote my first song in middle school and did it at the talent show, and going through high school, I put my first band together in high school. So just, you know, little by little, kind of moving up the ladder a little bit, and till it became something. I mean, it was a passion, and I knew I wanted to do it, to sing and write and perform. But I also, I was a band director for 27 years.
At the school?
Clark County.
George Rogers Clark High School?
At the high school. I started at Concrete Middle School. Mm-hmm. And then X amount of years later, they kind of restructured, and they went to a 5-6-7-8 school. Mm-hmm. So I went to the 7-8 school. So, you know, I love teaching and, you know, putting an instrument in a young person's hand and teach them how to play it and fostering their love of music like I had someone do for me. So I knew at some point in time that my personal music would actually come to fruition, and I would be able to really, I mean, I was still doing things, but I wasn't able to really put the time and effort into it that I needed to. And then when I retired from teaching in 2019, I missed the COVID bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I knew 3 years before that. As soon as I hit 55, 27 years of teaching, it was time for me to hit the ground and get my music out there.
Now, just listening to some of your songs, I've noticed that you are very much a storyteller when you sing your songs, and they're about a lot of different things, love, hope, a lot of things. So what's your favorite thing to sing about?
You know, I don't know that I have a one specific thing. I just hope that when somebody listens to a song of mine that there's encouragement in there. Mm-hmm. Somewhere that they can claim a little nugget as their own, and that it in some way, even if it's just for the 3.5 minutes that song's playing, if it gives them some peace in their spirit or a smile on their face or just something, and if it has that kind of effect, maybe they'll go back and listen to it again when they need something. So I think, you know, I think that's just it for me, being able to write something that other people can relate to and grab onto, and it just makes them feel better. It's encouraging to them.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the Josie Music Awards. You've also been nominated for a few awards. What have those been?
I'm up for one, which is Song of the Year in the Holiday category.
Ah.
Right. I mean, it seems like... off the cuff, no pun intended. Okay, yes, it was. But, you know, I really didn't know much about the Josies. But Renee kept telling me, you know, you really need to do this. You know, you really need to do this. You know, you really need this. And so she got in touch with me at the front of the year, and she said, okay, you know, the windows are opening, and you really need to do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially the holiday category, because very few songwriters write Christmas songs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're kind of limited in what you could write about, and how do you come up with something that's fresh? So in 2020, I actually did an EP, a Christmas album, and it was all originals. That was a goal that I had had for a very long time.
Original Christmas songs.
All six songs were all original, and I researched Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I researched, Googled Christmas songs, and... you know, there's different types of Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah.
You have the funny ones. You have the ballads, the sappy love songs. You have the faith-based ones. Mm-hmm. And then you have the sentimental ones. Mm-hmm. You know, there really is, if you listen, four different categories.
Oh, yeah.
So two of the songs are I wrote on my own. And then I thought it would be cool to call up friends of mine and co-write the other four. So that was really fun. That was my first co-writing experience. So four of the songs on it were co-written by Donovan Howard, Matthew Douglas Simpson, help me out, Nate Jackson, and there's one more. And I hate it when I forget people's names. But whoever it is, please don't be upset.
So is this song going to put me in the Christmas spirit?
I think it will. This particular one, and I'm going to try to wrap it up quickly, is I was looking to write another song. I was just going to do a single this past year, 22. And so I Googled how to write a pop. I wanted a stereotypical pop Christmas song.
Love it.
And I don't know why I Googled it, but I did. And so there were several. Some people went to the extreme and really got in and dissected Christmas songs. And some of them, they made funny little videos. But there was something that they all had in common. And so I was very fortunate to come up with. So I wrote it just to be funny, but ended up liking what I was coming up with.
Okay.
And so I stuck with it.
Well,
so
can't wait to hear it.
Oh, me too. There we go. Ready? I only sing it in December. Every year, the family comes from far and near to celebrate the holiday. Together Christmas Day. Friends drop by to celebrate the Christmas time, sharing in some Yuletide cheer, drinking in the atmosphere. Inside the house smells like ginger and pine. Outside the lights make the neighborhood shine. It's a fun A fun-filled family Christmas. All around there, smiling faces, lots of laughter and warm embraces. It's a fun-filled family Christmas. A fun-filled family Christmas. Making memories and reminiscing. Peace and love are what we're wishing for. A fun morn, we open presents by the fireside warm, taking turns so we all can see what Santa left for us under the tree. Baking starts in the kitchen, making reindeer bark, and we graze on it all day long, watching movies with our PJs on. When dinner time comes, there'll be plenty to eat. Turkey and gravy and lots of sweets. It's a fun-filled family Christmas. A fun-filled family Christmas. All around there, smiling faces. With lots of laughter and warm embraces. It's a fun-filled family Christmas. A fun where the smoking guitar solo goes. But I don't smoke. If there's snow on the ground, we'll be down at the park, going sled riding till way after dark. It's a fun-filled family Christmas. A fun-filled family Christmas. All around there, smiling faces, lots of laughter and warm embraces. It's a fun-filled family Christmas, a fun-filled family Christmas. Making memories and reminiscing, peace and love are
absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much to all of my guests for being in studio. What an amazing episode this was. Thank you again to Melissa, Trish, and Trudy. If you liked what you heard today, you can listen to all of our previous episodes on podcasts. We are on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts, or wherever you stream your favorite podcast. You can follow me on social media at The Adam Banks. You can follow the show on social media at The Adam Banks. We will be back next Thursday from 4 to 5. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Adam Banks, and this is Off the Cuff. We'll catch you down the road.